most heavily, because if they're going to put in a new gas manufacturing plant or something, where are they going to put it? Into the poorer neighborhoods, etc. Everything is so intertwined. And so I guess what I'm trying to get at is, it's great, everyone has their own little pet issues that they really are, but you need to really help support all of us, because it's a big network, it's a big lift that we have to do everything. And I think one of the bottlenecks of it is dark money in politics, that we have to change our election system to be able to move forward and to deal with all the issues.
Thank you, Linda Rhodes and Dave Holt from Indivisible and New Hampshire and Occupy Seacoast. Thank you so much for joining us today, and thanks for all the work.
Thanks for everything you do.
Well, really thanks important. For inviting us. It was terrific to be here.
Thank you very much. That was great.
We're going to take a short musical break, and we'll be back on the other side of 9 o'clock for the second half of Seacoast Currents. It is 9:04, and you are listening to WSCA 106.1 FM, Portsmouth Community Radio.
So-
Support for programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by our listeners and by Flatbread, a community-oriented restaurant dedicated to a positive work and dining environment. Flatbread serves local, organic, and all-natural food and drink made from scratch on the premises. The Flatbread Company holds a benefit each Tuesday evening for local community organizations located in downtown Portsmouth at 138 Congress Street. Information at flatbreadcompany.com or 603-436-7888.
Programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is provided by you, our members, and by Portsmouth Quality Flooring. Located on Lafayette Road, Route 1 in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Portsmouth Quality Flooring offers a full line of flooring products, including carpet, vinyl, hardwood, tile, cork, laminate, and more. Installation available. For further information, find them online at portsmouthflooring.com.
Support for programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is provided by you and by TextBox, connecting businesses with their customers by text-enabling existing business landline telephone numbers. Learn more by visiting businesstextbox.com or by calling or texting 850-205-1111. TextBox, making business text-friendly.
And from the community calendar... Whatsoever we do, the stark reality for refugees, asylum seekers, and immigrants in America today. Observations from the front lines of the U.S. immigration crisis. This will be a forum of immigration witnesses, experts, and activists, free and open to the public. It'll be take place at South Church here in Portsmouth on Thursday, August 8th, starting at 6:30. The groups that are involved with this are South Church Social Justice Associates, the New Hampshire ACLU, the Kent Street Coalition Immigration Committee, New Hampshire American Friends Service Committee, and the Seacoast Interfaith Sanctuary Coalition. So that's an forum on immigration Thursday, August 8th, 6:30 p.m. at South Church here in Portsmouth.
Please note that the views expressed on this program are those of the individuals who speak them and not necessarily of Portsmouth Community Radio, its Board of Trustees, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
And the weather, according to the Portsmouth Herald, today, sunny to partly cloudy, high of 78. Tonight, clear, going down to 59. Friday, mostly sunny, high of 82. Saturday, mostly sunny, high of 83. Sunday, humid with sunshine and patchy clouds, high of 84. And Monday, partly sunny and humid, high of 87.
And welcome back to the second half of Seacoast Currents with Kathy and Larry. Larry, do you have any announcements for us?
Yes. Okay, so next week on our show, we have one guest lined up, but we always try to have two. We're going to have Len Korn, who was the head of the New Hampshire Medical Association or Society or whatever it's called. And he's done a lot of work on gun violence prevention. So he will be here. And I'm working to get a second guest.
Okay.
The idea is we have a different guest each hour. So.
Yeah. Anyway. And you're pretty good at finding people.
Well, we live in a region, Kathy, we're fortunate. There are a lot of good activists on many issues, including the three gentlemen that are with us right now.
Yeah. So. And I would remind our listeners that if you have any questions or comments for us or our guests, you can call us. No, you can't call us.
Yeah, no,
you,
we don't take calls.
We don't like taking calls, so don't call.
Don't call us. We'll call you.
Right. You can email us at seacoastcurrents@gmail.com or you can text us at 603-430-9722 and your text or email will pop up here right in front of us and we will get you involved in the conversation that way. And joining us this morning in the studio are three representatives from the Portsmouth Police Commission and Committee. And first of all, Jim Splain, a regular contributor. Good morning, Jim.
Nice being with you, Kathy and Larry. You know, I was thinking a couple of days ago, this is since 2013 when I first came on with you on a monthly basis. This is my 70th time I'm with you.
And 70th? Wow.
The two things I've learned is during that time is that you always have exciting shows, and I always can bring a smile to Larry's face by saying one word, Trump.
Well, that's not a smile. That's a grimace.
Right. Trump. Well, we're really glad that you've been joining us, Jim. It's always good to have you on, and we appreciate the guests that you bring.
So, and then joining Jim is, if I may call you Buzz.
You may.
Buzz Scheer, who
Banks,
is...
Banks and judges call me Albert, but everybody else calls me Buzz.
Okay. Albert Buzz Scheer, who is the chair of the Body Cam and Car Camera Committee, and also Tom Morgan, who's well-known in the area at various Portsmouth resident, but involved in other... I think you're a town manager, aren't you?
No, I was a member of the Body Cam Commission.
Are you? Yeah. Yes. And you are also on the Body Cam Committee or Commission?
Committee.
Subcommittee.
Okay, all right, let's get this straight. Subcommittee. Now, just so everyone knows this, in case anyone is concerned that we are only presenting one side of the issue here, we always have the possibility of inviting other people onto the show to represent another side of the issue, which might be advisable. Jim.
Well, it's not really one side. It was a citizen subcommittee appointed by the police commission last year and made up of seven very good, hardworking, thoughtful citizens. They reviewed the issue. The vote was 6-1 after a large number of meetings and a lot of research. 5-1, but the another person who wasn't able to make that vote had indicated that she would have voted no for the immediate adoption, and that was the motion, the immediate adoption of body cams. And and Tom voted no on that motion, yes on that motion, meaning he was against immediate adoption, and Buzz voted
for immediate adoption.
So we do have two sides. Tom had indicated he was in favor of a pilot program, and the commission actually will make the final decision if we actually vote on it. There will be a report from the citizen subcommittee on the 17th of September at a public meeting. Pros and cons are going to be presented by some of the participants, and one of the fascinating things about any issue, and I think we've seen this in so many examples, discussions continue. You know, people can make a decision, the city council can make an 8-1 decision, but it may revisit something 2 years later and the vote will be different. That's what happens in the political and decision-making process. So the fact that we're here isn't to close the issue, but to continue the discussion about the issue. And I think that next year we're going to see continued discussion about the value of body cams and cameras in cruises and GPS in cruises, which I brought up this past meeting of the police commission a couple of days ago. So the discussion's going to continue, and today will help.
Okay, it will definitely continue, and we can always invite more people onto the show who might present a different perspective. All right, well, let's start with the issue. Jim, would you like to just explain what the basic issue is about body cams and what you were discussing, and then we can get into, you know, different opinions.
Yeah, I really want to hear the thoughts of both Tom and Buzz and others on this. I find that as a police commissioner, my job is to try to generate discussion about different kinds of things. I found that as a city councilor, certainly in the legislature. You know, interestingly, some of the issues that the legislature discussed this past session, January through June, we discussed 50 years ago during my first legislative term. So these key issues keep on coming back up. And some of the decisions made this past year in the legislature were turned down a dozen times by the legislature in the past. So what I'm saying is that the discussion about body cams and cameras and cruises is a discussion that has been held during the last decade and will continue to be in a lot of departments. You go on the internet, and we learned this from the research that the subcommittee did and the interviews that we had with other departments. You go on the internet and you will see lots of departments throughout the country adopting body cameras. The idea is to have transparency, or the purpose is to have transparency, but there's also privacy rights that have to be considered. So the issue has been, not only should police officers wear body cameras, under what conditions should they? How often should they use them? When do they turn them on? What kind of information is saved to the cloud so that it can be used in case of prosecution? Do body cams protect the officers in providing some kind of defense if an attack or an accusation is made about them being abusive? We have a society where everyone has a camera, cell phones, and police officers are often filmed, videoed by other people when they show up someplace. And if there is not a body cam that the police officer has, he, she might be kind of defenseless in explaining exactly what did happen. At the same time, police officers sometimes may feel intimidated by having a body cam, because if they do, how do they explain a change of policy that they may have adopted because of a certain feeling that somebody should not have been arrested or stopped the way that they otherwise would have been? So I think that there's two sides to this story, sure. Definitely.
Okay, just want to make sure everyone knows, our listeners know what we're talking about. All right, we're talking about these little cameras that police officers wear on their person, which will then record any exchange between the officer and anyone else that they come in contact with. Also, I believe we're talking about car or dash cameras too, that will also videotape any kind of exchange that happens right outside of the vehicles. I think those are the two things that we're talking about.
Well, the cruiser cams were not part of the purview of this subcommittee, okay. Particularly. And again, it comes down to policy as to when those cameras are used. They would not necessarily be turned on at all times. Certainly, citizens would have a right to be able to refuse to be videoed.
Yeah. Okay, so today we're really just talking about body cameras, those little cameras that the police officers wear. All right. Buzz, I believe that you were in support of immediate adoption of these cameras. Could you tell us why you
feel
that way?
Yeah, it's slightly more nuanced than that, but yes. I think that as a matter of principle, the police commission should say, we are going to start the process of adopting body cams for each officer. I say in principle, because one of the things we learned on the subcommittee is that the IT system at the Portsmouth Police Department needs upgrading. It's not in a shape now that would allow the police department to immediately adopt body cams. But I want the police commission to make the statement that we think body cams are a good idea. Let's start the process rolling. Part of that process is investing money in the IT system, which really, independent of body cams or no body cams, it really needs updating. Just as an example, we don't have in place a system at the police department where any officer has a GPS or any cruiser has a GPS. So, but for communications through, radio, where was officer, Splane last seen, or where did he last call in from? We don't know where an officer is. So in an officer down situation, the department tends to rely way too much on not hearing from him for a long time and getting concerned, or a citizen noticing what happened. So, that's an overlapping issue with body cams, because body cams provide that capability. But it's an example of the IT system, broadly speaking, spoken needs updating. Okay. Once that updating is done, I think the next step is to solicit bids from vendors. There's two major vendors. We spoke with both of their subsets of the body cam, Commissioner Onosco and I, and the business manager for the Portsmouth Police Department met with two major vendors, interviewed them, and got details. And what they do is each of them completely fund for a police department who's considering using their body cams a pilot program. Well, we interviewed two officers from Manchester Police Department who had just finished a 30-day pilot program with one of the two major vendors. They did it with 14 police officers, and we interviewed them about those results. Didn't cost Manchester Police Department a thing. So I think that would be the next step. And you can do pilot program with each vendor, or you can be convinced by the first vendor and move right. And then it's a budget item going forward for the police department. My sense is that after having led the discussion with the two vendors and looked at the data, I think it's an additional expense of about $100,000 a year for the Portsmouth Police Department to have body cams for loosely the 75 full-time police officers, 75 full-time part-time police officers, and the 25 or so auxiliary officers. You can struggle about whether we should have body cams on auxiliary officers, but if you think about the numbers, 100, it's about $100,000 a year, which is less than 1% of the police department budget. What you get with it is, you know where officers are. You get the GPS function, although you can do that without body cams, mm-hmm. both for cars and for officers. For me, the most important thing is the very practical reality of living in the smartphone generation. That is, you do not want to be in a situation where everybody but the officer has a video from each of their perspectives about what happened with the incident. So you want the officer to have it. So it's a value to the police department, to the town, in terms of the city, in terms of saving litigation money. It's of great value in that way. Number two, the two vendors that we talked to, they have wonderful systems for automatically sending a message to the central command, live message to central command if there is an officer down who doesn't have the capability himself of getting on his radio and there's no other witness. The body cam function allows for the department to know immediately that there's an officer down because the body cam has, at least one of the vendors has a function that when the officer goes down like that, it automatically reports. It does not need to be activated. That's another officer safety function. The thing that I guess riled me the most about this, about what we heard on the committee, is some people's belief that we do not need body cams because in Portsmouth, because we don't have any problems. We don't have any incidents. That is the worst of logic. We do not want to be in a situation in Portsmouth where we wait till we have a bad incident and then we decide to get body cams. I think it is in any city or town in this state or in this country, it's just putting aside good departments and bad departments. You have less incidents in good departments that hire well and train well than you do in bad departments. But putting aside that distinction, no matter how good a department is, you're going to have a problem. Because the problem, way more often than not, is generated not by the police officer, but by a citizen. And you want to be ready for that. So, broadly, I think body cams make a police department a better police department. Mm-hmm. Again, not suggesting by that Portsmouth PD is a bad police department. But we want to make it as good a department as we can on the cost.
And speaking of costs, I believe they're going to be, in addition to those costs that you mentioned, like $100,000 a year, there would be some indirect costs. You know, you have to add cell phone plans, and that could be like almost $20,000 a year. And there's staffing issues. I mean, people are going to have to be in charge of handling all the videos and going through the videos and dealing with them. And
I think those arguments are. I don't think when I capture the $100,000. Cost that includes a cell phone, the necessary cell phone plan. I think the staffing issues are grossly overstated. I think in terms of handling evidence, you may need one more position, but going forward, you might need one more position anyway. A smaller police department. Manchester anticipated that they would have to add one more full-time staff member to manage it, but Manchester is a police department of about 250.
Yeah. So. Do you think there'd be a lot of right-to-know requests coming in? Because that's hard to say, but I just, you know, yeah, based on what, you know, other...
I used to be chair of the New Hampshire ACLU, so I'm very familiar, and I teach at the law school. I'm very familiar with right-to-know requests. As with anything, I think there'll be a burst of right-to-know requests, but I think it'll, you know, 99% of all interactions between officers and citizens are nothing. There's just nothing of interest to see on them. So there will be incidents where, yes, there'll be a right-to-know request. I don't think there'll be an overwhelming in the... Once it kind of shakes out, there will be a huge overwhelming amount of right-to-know requests. And at a certain point, you need to ask the question, oh, well, too many people are going to find out about what police officers are doing, so let's not have them so you don't have to have a right-to-know request.
You're an attorney, and you've a trial and appellate lawyer. Have you had a lot of occasion to, in court cases, to use video from body cams in
I'm not currently practicing. I've been a law professor for 26 years at UNH Law, but I was a public defender for 13 years before that. So I have a lot of friends in the criminal justice system. I know what's going on. What I'm hearing from criminal defense lawyers is in Goffstown and in Manchester, where they did a pilot program, in Laconia, in Dunbarton, the highest frequency of use of body cams is an attorney getting the video on like a DWI stop and saying, oh, let's negotiate a plea bargain. This doesn't look too good for you. So there's a hard to document value in body cams that that encourage people to plead guilty, negotiate a plea bargain, and you never see that in. It's a hard stat to keep. Body cams are still relatively new in New Hampshire, but I know of a few cases where they're used in court, but they're only going to be used in the close cases. You know, a defendant is not going to go to trial when his attorney has said, boy, this body cam looks bad for you. The prosecutor is not going to take the case to trial if the body cam looks bad for the prosecution. So measuring its use in court is not measuring the value of body cams in the legal system.
Okay. Tom.
Yes.
You voted to look at it a little bit longer, but not to adopt the body cams right now. Is that correct?
I voted initially to try a pilot program because I heard compelling arguments both for and against body cams, and I just got the sense that if you haven't tried it out, you're not really going to be sure if it works well for you, you know. And so that was my first choice, was just to test the waters. I heard enough comments and evidence that I was not ready to go forward with full-blown implementation. because I really wanted to know if I valued having a trial period to make sure that what we thought we were getting is what we were really going to get.
And what were the issues that kept you personally from supporting it, supporting an immediate implementation?
Well, like I said, there's compelling arguments both for and against. Police officers who were at the committee meetings with us tended to be against. I took the opportunity to have conversations with officers I would run into on the street. I'd just go up and ask them, you know.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, I ended up talking to half a dozen over a period of 6 months, and every one of them was ambivalent. They could see both the advantages and disadvantages, and they weren't sure. And they weren't going to have much say in the matter anyways. They were, at the end of the day, they were going to do what they were told to do. But.
Yeah. Anything else that caused you to think twice about the program?
Well, as Buzz mentioned a few minutes ago, it was a revelation to find out that the department's IT hardware is antiquated. And I said, what's going on with this? We have a municipal budget of $118 million, and why is the computer system, you know?
Good question.
Yeah.
In a fleet budget of, I think, $11.1 million.
Well, what kind of input did you get from other police departments around the state about their experience with the body cams, Buzz?
We talked to, individuals from three police departments that had experience with body cams. excuse me. The Dunbarton Police Department was our first, very small department, rural department by and large. They had a voluntary program. They said to their, and it was a officer generated effort to get body cams, which was very interesting and something we didn't hear from other places. And the program
officer generated, that means the officer turns it on himself.
No. Officer generated in this, well, that's a separate issue, but officer generated in the officers went to the chief in the town and said, some of them said, we want to have body cams, we want to try them out, which was interesting. And I think 3 out of 5 officers now have body cams in Dunbarton. Dunbarton's a rural community.
Yeah.
There's a value, a particularly specialized value for them when they're on single patrol out in a rural area, and that makes a lot of sense. We then heard from Goffstown PD, which has about 35 or 40 full-time officers, and they had it for about 3 years. Theirs was chief generated. The chief said post Ferguson and the difficulties in Ferguson said body cams are coming and we want to be ahead of that curve. And he went about implementing them. They discussed it with the police unions in the town. They brought them into the discussion early, which I think is a very important thing, and part of what we did on the subcommittee is representatives from the three police unions were present at virtually every meeting we had. So, but the overall reception in Goffstown from the police officers, what we heard formally is very positive. Even people who were opposed to it decided that they now like it. One of the people that, when they were trying them out, the person in charge of implementing it identified one officer who was a very active union member and very opposed to body cams and had him try them out, and he was converted. Then we talked to the Manchester Police Department, the two people, a lieutenant and a captain leading the implementation of body cams in Manchester, which is both the prior mayor and the current mayor they were very supportive, and the Board of Aldermen said, we really want you to look in this, and the chief has been very supportive. So they went about getting vendors, and they did the pilot program, and they picked 14 officers, you know, some patrolmen, some detectives, some opposed, adamantly opposed, some ambivalent, some common support. The general results of that, I know one of our one of the police commissioners and I kind of have a little spat going as to what the results were, but virtually every officer who used it is in support, even the ones who are opposed to it. The ones who were somewhat less in support had technical issues with it that, you know, could be fixed, but had technical issues with what that particular vendor did. But we really haven't heard from a police officer in all the three departments that we interviewed who said, once I use body cams, I don't like them, we shouldn't do it. Every officer that we heard from essentially said they're supportive for any variety of reasons. So it was, that was interesting. The chief went out looking for departments who had used body cams and then got rid of them, put aside the financial issue. He did not find any departments that were willing to talk to us about that.
Mm-hmm. Tom, you want to talk to us about, you had a professor, Daniel Bromberg, who is nationally known for his experience with body cams. Can you tell us about what he told you? I mean, I think he concentrated on, you know, attitudes of the police, attitudes of the public about this. Can you kind of let us know what the professor had to say?
I wish I could. I remember that professor. He was articulate. He was very knowledgeable. And at the moment, the details of his talk, it was several months ago that we heard.
Yeah, and I kind of stumbled across Dan Bromberg. I teach at the law school. It's part of UNH, and I do some work with the Carsey Institute where he's located. He's a political scientist, but his research has been in the area of attitudes, and he's done public opinion surveys and things like that. What he has found is very interesting. He was really studying this idea that getting body cams in a police department will increase the public's trust in the police department. And he found that's a wash. It actually, you know, it didn't have a positive or negative result in either direction. So, you know, kind of to oversimplify what he said, there's really good reasons to get body cam. There's bad reasons to get body cam. Doing it so the citizenry of a town or city will trust the police more is not a good reason to do body cams.
Interesting. Okay.
So it's a very interesting data point. But, you know, and one of the other implications of what he said is because the citizenry of the town trust the police department is not a reason not to get body cams. That is, there are good reasons that have nothing to do with changing public attitudes and changing police behavior that are good reasons to have body cams.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, that's one of the questions I really wanted to ask. And I think perception is a huge factor here. And I mean, how does it affect police behavior? How does it affect the view of the public about their police department? I mean, I think these are questions that are a little subjective and hard to answer, but. I think that would be really interesting to know how the attitudes are affected by body cams.
And I think what we heard from Dan Bromberg is
that there isn't much of it.
Yeah, you don't get results from studying the public's attitude, current attitudes, and changing attitudes from the adoption of body cam or the lack of body cams that tell you. Public attitudes, one way or another, are a reason to have or not have body cams. It's an oddly powerful result given the ambivalence of the result.
Yeah. I think is great is that you had people from three different kinds of towns in New Hampshire. I mean, a small town, and then kind of a mid-sized Govstown, and then of course Manchester. Did any of these towns and one city have any experience that the video was used in a court case?
Govstown had an experience where there was a complaint about an officer And the way the officer handled, I don't recall whether it was actually an arrest or at least an encounter with a citizen, and complained about it. And those in authority at the Goffstown PD went and looked at the body cam, and there was nothing there. So, you know, that is a, I would say most accurately, we just don't have enough data to draw conclusions in those terms. I think it's obvious that there are going to be some circumstances when somebody's going to complain, and let's go to the cameras, and you'll find out that there's nothing there, or there is something there. And either of those effects are very positive ones. You know, it doesn't really matter whether turns out there was something there or turns out there was nothing there. It's easier to resolve. Again, body cams are still relatively new in New Hampshire, so we're just not seeing much happening in court. And again, I go back to what I said earlier. You know, what body cams will do more than anything is increase the lack of court cases, rather than increase their use in court cases.
Buzz, I know you don't think that necessity is necessarily an argument in this. You know, whether we, you know, do we need it in Portsmouth, and have we had any issues in Portsmouth? And if I understand you correctly, you feel that's not really
I would put it differently, because I think as we become more and more a technological society, I think it's necessary for every department to have body cams, because, to use a formal advanced legal description, you'd be nuts not to have your department have body cams when everybody else on the street has got, you know, a smartphone. It just doesn't make sense to pass that opportunity up. So in that sense, it is a necessity. And I think, number two, it's just wrong to say, we don't have any problems here. You know, Portsmouth doesn't have any problems, so we don't need them. Once we start having problems, we're going to get them. It's just, you know, Portsmouth is, not because it's Portsmouth, not because it's this police department, just because it's life, Portsmouth is going to have problems.
Now, someone would argue with you, Buzz, and say, we don't need them because everybody's got a cell phone.
Well, then you're stuck with the perspective of the person with the cell phone. And part of that perspective is a truncated perspective. They only turn the cell phone on towards the end of the incident. Part of it is you are at the mercy of editing of what has been recorded. You're looking at it from a person on the side, so you don't get the police officer's perspective. No single video of any incident, even in the ideal world, is in and of itself completely objective and completely neutral. It is always from the perspective of the person with the camera, be it a witness, be it a potential suspect, be it the officer. And it's, you don't want to take out of that the officer's perspective.
And Jim, what does Chief Murner have to say?
The chief made it, I think, very clear during the discussions that he was opposed. I was part of the interview committee along with a couple of dozen other citizens a couple of years ago when we hired Chief Murner, and we had six candidates to interview, and one of the questions I asked each of the candidates, he was from Seattle at the time,
yes,
how they viewed the use of body cams, and he indicated that he was against it, but I still voted for him as our choice, as my choice to be a police chief, and I think he's turned out as an excellent a choice for the city of Portsmouth, and he's done great work. Mark Newport, who was our captain, also had inferred that he was opposed to body cams, as I think most of the command level of the police department had been. I've talked with a number of police officers myself and find considerable support for body cams, but they haven't participated in the discussion so much, and I can understand why why they might be a little more quiet on this, because police officers themselves, as Tom indicated, follow the rules and regulations laid out by the chief and others, and that's part of the process in Portsmouth. What I did find is that we had a great discussion exploring both sides of the issue. There's a pros list, there's a cons list that's going to be part of the presentation on the 17th of September when the committee makes it subcommittee makes its report. That'll be on the internet. Buzz, I think, even though he's supportive of body cams, he's given a good balanced viewpoint as to what some of the problems are. And there are problems with adopting body cams in a community like Portsmouth, so we have to stay open-minded to that. What I think is going to happen, however, is that technology will continue to evolve on this. They will become less expensive, although I don't think it's very expensive to have body cams $2,000 a year per person. It comes out to $2,000 or so per person, including all the costs. I mean, whatever you add to it. And I think that it is a great training tool, too. So when I first made the motion for setting up the committee last year, I indicated that I'm in favor of body cams. I think it's eventually going to happen. I think the technology is going to make it so convenient and necessary that we will do it. That might be a year from now, because a vote by the subcommittee was only don't do it right now, but the discussion will continue, and I think that 5 years from now we might revisit this issue, 10 years from now, and whenever we do get to the point that body cams are supported by law enforcement community, and I would not support them as a police commissioner in less than until the police department itself, most of the police officers say, hey, yeah, let's try this. I don't think we can force this on the police at this point. But whenever we do it, I think we'll do it better than without the discussion that we've had the past several months. And I commend the good commissioner, Chair Joe Nosco, and Arthur Hilson, who as one of his last votes, was supportive of this before he passed away last year, supportive of having the discussion. Indicated he wasn't necessarily for body cams, but he wanted to have the discussion. And the good commissioner, Stephanie Shaheen, participating in the discussion. I commend them for having the desire to have the discussion, and those seven citizens who were involved in this, really, they contributed hours and hours and hours and a lot of personal research time on this. I think that that's been beneficial to the community. The fact is, we will revisit this. I'll be continuing to talk about it. I'm sure that Buzz and Tom will continue to be talking about it. Citizens will be talking about it. I have to say that I find very few people who I talk with, and I'm pretty well networked in this community, who are not supportive of the concept of body cams. When I say concept, there's different parts of that.
Right.
And it's a question of how they are used, when they are used, in what venues are they used. And if we do cruiser cams, which I think a lot of people think we have already, but when we do cruiser cams, and I think we'll get to that point, as well as GPS, and we're exploring that in the next couple of months as a police commission, I think this technology can be used as a tool to make policing even better and to actually save some lives and protect our police officers, and as well as make sure that our citizens are treated the way that they deserve. To protect and to serve is the motto of our police department, and I think that that's something that we always have to live up to.
Jim, why do you think Chief Murner and Captain Newport are not supportive?
I think we have to ask them, perhaps at another forum. We've had both on, and Chief Murner has vast background, over 30 years. The captain is just an excellent captain, I think. He works well with the police officers at all levels, and I think that very possibly that could be a future show on this when we want to discuss body cams and crew Palooza camps. I think that as the discussion evolves, we're going to find more and more police officers, and I was hopeful that this would happen these past several months, and I think it's sort of dead. As the discussion evolves, we'll have more calm analysis about the value. I think Buzz summarized that pretty well. I think we heard that from Manchester and Goffstown in particular. As other police departments, Boston's doing a trial run now, and the chief had been involved in, of course, the Boston Marathon bombing several years ago. He was a command level a person on that day. He's got a lot of experience in Boston. As pilot programs and other experiences of other communities are shown on body cam use, I think more and more police officers will show their professionalism, as they always do, and look at it as a plus and a minus, and come down on the side of I think the public discussion that we need to have.
To pick up a little bit on what and build a little bit on what Jim said, I think as a general matter, when police first think about the idea of body cams, they have an understandable defensive reaction. Oh, this is the public who doesn't trust us and they want to watch us.
Just policing the police.
Right. And I think I understand that given the politics of broadly interactions between police and some citizens, depending on what community it is. So I understand that initial, let's call it defensiveness or leeriness about body cams. And I agree with Commissioner Splane in that I think over time, as we get more hard data, like how's Manchester's experience been? I'm going to try and work with Dan Bromberg, Professor Bromberg, and on a study of the implementation if Manchester decides to go that way. So we get results of how often it's used in court. What are the officers thinking? You know, test the officers before they start using them, and then do a test after using them for a year. So.
Okay. Yes, Tom.
Kathy, I was, you know, during the process, I was thinking back years and years ago, the first municipal meeting I was at where we were broadcast on local TV. And I remember the very first time, the very first meeting, they turned on the camera. I looked around and everybody on the board shifted their behavior somewhat. They were a little self-conscious. They chose their words more carefully. By meeting number two, everybody forgot the camera was there. And I think, you know, body cams is going to be the same thing. Once you get over that initial hump, it's like just another piece of equipment, and both the citizens and the police officers will not be conscious about it. It's just...
Law professors are the same way. If you say, can I video your class? They say, yeah. And the first 5 minutes, they're all nervous and stuttery, mm-hmm. when they usually aren't. And then like 15 minutes into it, they forget it's even there.
You know, a good example of what Tom just said is the police commission meetings have always been videotaped. They're available on the city's website. You go to a particular meeting 5 years ago, 2 years ago, last year, 2 months ago, and you can click on and you can see it, and it's on the on video, and it's also on the Portsmouth channel. But it just so happened that we had a meeting this past Tuesday, and somebody didn't show up to turn on the cameras in City Hall, in the chambers, so we were not videotaped.
And human beings are very annoying that way.
Well, and I think we will all admit, the commissioners will all admit, that we had to different attitude as we were sitting there, knowing that every word and every expression was not being videotaped. We were freer to say some things that we otherwise might not have. I think that is one of the reasons why some police officers might be opposed to body cams, because, and I can understand this, and there's something to be said for that. There's a lot of personal judgment on their part as to whether, after they've stopped somebody on a traffic stop, whether or not they give somebody a ticket or just a warning, or their personal experience of dealing with somebody whose door they might knock on. That's where if you're videotaping it, you're always thinking as a police officer am I going to be second-guessed by somebody who might be viewing this, whether it be a chief or a captain? I think that's where the policy comes into play, and I think that the captain or the chief or the commission or whomever runs a police department can adopt policies and do adopt policies to allow for that. Certainly in domestic violence cases, they're not turned on automatically. And in other cases, police officers can continue to make their judgment without feeling that they're being looked at.
And what we've seen in Dunbarton, in Goffstown, and what we'll see in Manchester, they're in that process right now, is the good way to adopt them is you bring in, you embrace the police unions at the front end, and so there it becomes part of the collective bargaining agreement how you manage, you know, when it goes on, when it goes off, what they can be used for. We didn't talk to any department who has a command structure that regularly reviews an officer's body cams to see if they can catch him on anything. The only thing it's, and that's part of that, is negotiated with the unions. But the only thing, they just don't have the time to do that anyway. The only thing that they use them for in practical terms, in terms of discipline, is if there's a complaint against somebody, they go to the body cam and see what there is.
One quick question. Do you think the public will be less likely to talk to the police if they know they're being videotaped and they want to stay anonymous and they don't want to really go on record? I mean, will all of a sudden everyone not want to talk to the police anymore?
I don't think so. I mean, I think you're going to have... that can be managed, I guess would be the best way to put it. I've never been good at predicting other people's behavior in these kind of circumstances, and I don't trust somebody who does. But, I think if it's a person who has valuable information for the police but doesn't want to be known, let's call them a contributing citizen, an informant, whatever, you know, I think that you can build into your policies a practice for turning the camera off. This is not some rigid, we're going to get you, Mr. Police Officer, or Ms. Police Officer, by documenting your every moment during the day, and then we're going to have the press and public citizens do all these right-to-know requests and figure out what you were doing all day long. You know, that's just not going to happen. And in fact, those decisions, those judgment calls police officers make not to charge someone, those aren't going to change because nobody is going to request in a right-to-know request a video where someone wasn't charged, or very rarely will that happen.
Yeah, and you know, citizens either will or they won't decide to share information with the police. The camera being there is not going to make one difference, you know. Because if there's no camera, they know whatever they say is going to go somewhere, you know.
Well, thank you. We've run out of time, but that was great. I think we will have a show where we ask the other side to present their arguments, but this has been really enlightening. I thank all three of you. Jim Splaine, of course, Portsmouth Police Commissioner, Buzz Scheer, Chair of the Body Cam Committee, and Tom Morgan, Member of the Committee. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
And we'll... I just want to remind everyone, we will be back next Thursday with more Seacoast Currents. In the meantime, stay active, stay informed, and stay tuned.
was the last DJ who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. And there goes your freedom of choice. And there goes the last human voice. And there goes the last DJ. Sometimes it's